This episode of IRM Today is brought to you by Secure Future Tech Solutions, your local IT partner providing information technology solutions. To consult with an IT expert today, call 401-921-2607 or visit them online at securefuturetech.com.
Now on AM 790, it's time for IRM Today, the property management show with hosts Dina Cimarelli and Chrissy Denalian. Join them now for this live call-in show to discuss property management issues and hear from guests from all trades and programs discussing your real estate needs. Here's your hosts, Dina and Chrissy.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to IRM Today, the property management show here on AM 790. Today is Tuesday, January 30th, 2018. I'm Chrissy Denalian here in the studio, but I actually have my co-host is off-site right now. So, Dina, are you with us?
I'm not off-site. I like that.
You're working off-site. That's what we'll say.
I'm working off-site.
There was a little emergency, a little panic.
But we make it work.
We're going to make it work.
Thank God for technology.
I know. Thank God. We'll have to get you an Uber and ship you over here, I guess.
You need to. I'm right around the corner.
So that is my co-host, Dina Cimarelli. We're going to make it work today. And in case this is the first time you're tuning in, IRM is your live local radio show here every Tuesday from 4 to 5 p.m. And we know that there's a lot of these syndicated programs on this radio station. However, Dina,
we are not one of them.
We're not.
Well, we are fun.
Yes.
And we are entertaining. It's very entertaining, actually, if they really knew what was going on right now. But we are not syndicated. But we are live in the studio every Tuesday talking about all things property management.
Some of us are live in the studio every Tuesday.
Oh, that's right. I can't say we. Chrissy is live in the studio. Well, I'm live. I'm just not in the studio.
Right.
We're here every Tuesday talking about all things property management. And in case you were tuning in for the first time and you were wondering what IRM is, what does it stand for? Well, IRM stands for the Institute of Real Estate Management. And we are the most professional group in the entire whole wide world for managing real estate.
In the whole wide world. We're worldwide now.
Chrissy, I would give anything to be in the Brazilian chapter right now. Anything.
And not out in the snow. I know after today... definitely. I mean, I was out on the property for several hours. I thought we were supposed to just get a dusting.
Well, that's what I thought. And I woke up to, you know, I was actually was in Connecticut last night and we were supposed to get a, you know, stayed at Ryan's house and we were supposed to get a dusting and poof, 6 inches.
I know.
Didn't plan for that when you're leaving the house at 5:20 in the morning.
Definitely didn't. And it was a very scary ride in to...
The ride was horrible.
Oh, my God. It was terrible. I thought 95 would have been, you know, great today and the main roads. Nope. Everything was a mess. And, you know, there's crazy people that are just driving regular, I guess, normal speed limit. And I'm, like, having a panic attack glued to my steering wheel. So scared.
And where I come in from when I stay over at his house in Connecticut, I come all the way down Route 6. And that Route 6 is on its own merit on a good day.
It's a scary road.
Absolutely scary, horrible road. And there's got to be some sort of like Frito-Lay, Doritos, like...
that's their route?
Facility, fulfillment warehouse up near where we are because here I am going literally 3 miles an hour. The snow was so bad coming down this morning, literally at 5:20 in the morning. And I was like trapped in between like Frito-Lay trucks and Doritos. And I'm like, this cannot be the way that I go out. This cannot be my legacy.
Just
squashed between.
Squashed between chip trucks. That's a great way to go, I guess.
Oh my God. So you had some stuff going on at the property?
Yeah, it was a crazy, you know, I think we were all expecting a dusting or 1 to 3 inches, like they said. And when I woke up this morning, I was like, I looked out my bedroom window and I was like, oh, it doesn't look so bad. And then I went down there and I started shoveling my driveway and I was like, well, this is at least 3 inches that we've had at 6 o'clock in the morning. So, and then I went out on the property and just removing snow from left to right. Like, it was just a crazy storm and, you know, Morale and everything is down because
living in Lincoln, we were the only school, I'm pretty confident of this, that did not have a 1 hour delay. It had 200, the last time I checked, there was 268 delays in the state of Rhode Island for schools. Now, you know where Lincoln is, so Cumberland had one, North Smithfield,
all
North
surrounding.
Providence. I'm sitting here going, hello, why do we not have a 1 hour delay? Only town.
Oh, Dina.
But we made it work. We're here today.
The joy of the snow. And we are here today. And locally, we are the Greater Rhode Island Chapter 88. And another thing you might be wondering is, what do we do? What do we do, Dina, here at IRAM?
Well, we are the source of education and professional recognition for managers of all types of properties. So whether you manage an elderly housing building, maybe you manage a single-family home, maybe even a tenement building, commercial property, the real estate of the Institute of Real Estate Management is for you. And we're also here for people that might be looking for a change in their career, maybe want to get into property management. They're just looking for something different, and they want to have some sort of training, some sort of education, or even a designation so that they can be recognized as a professional property manager, such as yourself.
Yes. I do have a designation.
You are. Have one.
I
and
do.
A designation means that you have some sort of credentials stating that you're a trained professional in the industry, you're backed by a code of ethics, you've had the proper training, and you really know your stuff. Like, you really knew what to do today when you rolled up on site and it was a snowstorm.
And I was like, oh, no.
So we do offer two of those credentials, and the first one you have is the ARM.
Yes.
What does that stand for?
That's the Accredited Residential Manager.
And what's the other one?
And the second one that we offer is the CPM, which is the Certified Property Manager, which is pretty much equivalent to a degree from Brown University in property management.
So we
try to keep it local here and say Brown, not Harvard, like Jack Benz.
No.
But, with the CPM, it's such a more intensive course, I guess, we offer that designation. It takes a little longer, but because of that designation, you might be offered more opportunities career-wise in property management than you would have available to you if you didn't have that designation.
I believe that. So now, Chrissy, if somebody walks into your place of business and they state that they're a CPM and they're looking for work, right away you know that this person has been trained properly, professionally, and is backed by a code of ethics. And if they didn't have this designation, they might not have the same opportunity. I mean, they might, but definitely, I would definitely say having the CPM is going to work tremendously in their favor.
Of course.
Absolutely. And what's great about IRAM is that we are willing to train people to get the correct education. And there are some companies that will even train people for the CPM designation, or if someone is willing to go out on their own. We also have a great training program, which is our scholarship program. So why don't you tell us a little bit about the scholarship program?
So the scholarship program is a wonderful program that we offer here at IRAM. You can actually go right on our website, iramri.org, and under events and education, you can click on scholarships, and it brings you right to how to apply for a scholarship. It covers up to 75% of the course cost, and all you would have to do is fill out the application, a personal statement, a resume, and a letter of support from a chapter president or designated officer. If you're not sure of any IRAM officers or who's on the board, you can certainly come to one of our events. We can introduce you to people. We have a great camaraderie that goes on at these IRAM events.
And we do.
And if you had any questions about the program, about IRAM itself, you could always give our association executive a call. Her name is Karen Cuddle, and you can call her at 401-479-7734. Now, Dina, when we come back, we have a couple articles that you've pulled up and I've pulled up, and maybe we can work together and talk this through.
I think we can.
Yes. So we'll be right back after this. You're listening to IRAM Today, the Property Management Show.
Now back to IRAM Today, the property management show with your hosts, Dina Cimarelli and Chrissy Denalian on AM 790, your station for talk and business.
All right. It is 4:17 here on IRAM Today, the property management show. I'm Chrissy Denalian, along with my car co-host over here, Dina Cimarelli. We're live here in the studio or in our car every Tuesday from 4 to 5 p.m. Dina,
we are.
You're still with us. Thank
I'm
God.
I'm still with you.
I'm so happy.
I'm gonna run out of gas, but I'm gonna be.
No.
No, I'm just kidding.
You're gonna have a flat tire and be out of gas.
Chrissy, I'm actually so close, but yet so far away.
I know you are. You're like, we normally go to this little deli down the street, and sometimes we'll stop by there before the show, have a cup of coffee or something to figure out what we're gonna do for the day. And unfortunately, I didn't stop there today, but Dina did, and You know, she got a
Tina
whole...
got more than a sandwich.
She did. She got a big old flat tire, so...
I am, and that's where I'm sitting here now. And luckily for Dad, I would have changed it myself. I know how to change a tire. But I went in the back. I've never had to change a tire with the car that I'm in now. I've had it for about 3 years. And for some reason, the jack is so wedged in, and I just don't know if I'm not strong enough or it's fastened, and I can't figure out how to unfasten it. But I got the tire out. I got, like, the lug nut wrench, whatever that thing's called. And
oh,
I
Dina.
I just can't get the jack out. So I called my dad, and I'm like, please come help me.
Oh.
And then I said, let me call in so that I don't leave you hanging.
I know. That's so sweet of you. I really I love that you called in, Dina.
Absolutely.
I mean, this is us right now. Just making us work.
This is us.
So we actually found a couple of good articles. One was on Forbes. Do you have that article up?
I do have it up right now. Yeah.
So we think that, like, in Forbes was saying that in 2018, you'll see four trends that are going to impact the rental market. So I know that there's a bunch of changes and trends in the real estate market, and some of them are going to be impact the rental industry. So what is the first trend that we're going to see maybe in 2018?
So we're going to see occupancy rates fall and rent growth slows. And I do have to tell you that even a few weeks ago, I was out visiting properties. I don't know how you guys are doing, but across the board, everybody's occupancy was low, lower than they budgeted for, lower than, you know, they want to be. And every property kind of told me a little bit of why they thought it was going on. Obviously, it was that time of
this
year.
This time of year, yeah.
We're slow in December and January and holidays, and nobody wants to move at this time. But they personally knew that, you know, a few of them had said, well, some of our residents had moved out and they bought homes. Some of them were here on, like, job co-ops for, like, a year or 6 months, and they ran out and went back to their respective states or countries. So, but no matter where I was going, and I don't know how you're looking at this at your property or some of the concern portfolio, but this, I have not seen one property yet who can honestly say, oh, no, we're 99 or 100% occupied.
Yeah. I think conventionally, like when in a conventional portfolio rather than a subsidized or tax credit property, I think there's a lot more challenges because the rental rate is growing, and you have seen tremendous growth within the past few years. And, you know, for some time, you can definitely see what the rental rate is far higher than what a mortgage could be. So I think a lot of people are maybe wising up a little bit and saying, you know, for what I spend in rent, yes, I have snow removal that's taken care of, and I have trash removal and sewer, and, you know, I don't have all these extra
convenient
bills, but if I get a house, I can probably be saving a lot more money. But having to do, like, a little more work on my end, maybe landscaping or things like that. But
exactly.
I think.
And they did say a couple years ago, like after, was it 2008, 2009, that whole
crash
with the mortgages, and people were upside down in their mortgages. And unfortunately, they had a short sale or they had a foreclose on them. Unfortunately, that went against a lot of people's credits, and they were still making the income and everything. All their other credit was fine, but that hurt them in a situation where, you know, they couldn't buy another house at that point. They couldn't go and just, you know, invest into another property.
Right.
So a lot of those people actually went into
renting
because that's all that they could do. But now you're talking 8, 9, 10 months. This is years have passed now. I'm sure their credit is
right. We're talking 10 years later.
You're out and stop buying.
Yep.
Good. Remember that a whole thing happened.
I know. I remember. I actually had just started with Pacern when everything crashed, and we were getting a lot of people trying to apply, but the credit wasn't where it needed to be. So, because we do a credit check still and a criminal background check, but a lot of these smaller companies or even a mom and pop tenement house would retain these people because, you know, it's a cheaper price point, and there's nowhere else to go. So, I mean, I think because of the rate of rentals, like the high price of rentals right now, I think we are going to see these occupancy rates fall, unfortunately, as a result of this.
That's too bad.
I know.
Now, let me ask, just because, again, you're on the other side of it, do you ever see a concession? And if that was truly the case, and let's say residents are leaving and they tell you it's due to price, at what point does a concession come in? Do you make any concessions? Yeah. Do you lower the rent? Does that happen?
It never gets really lowered, but we do take into consideration, like for my particular property, if somebody's been there 30 years, obviously they're not going to probably be paying market rate. We're going to try to meet them somewhere in the middle of what they were paying last year to what the rent has gone up to this year. You know, there are circumstances where, you know, there are rental increases yearly with renewals, but I would say there's always, because people have been there a longer time, there's a cost associated with turning over an apartment. You know, you're talking yeah. about painting an apartment. You're talking about cleaning the apartment. You're talking about carpet replacement or even cabinet replacement or appliances. So all of these costs kind of contribute to what their rental rate is. So if somebody's been at the property a number of years, they're probably paying a little less than what the market rate is.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
You know, so a lot of things go into that price. And, you know, sometimes it is a matter of the cost of things. You know, utility bills have gone up and uh-huh. electric bills have gone up and gas bills have gone up. So
everything
a lot of
up.
That is reflected in their rental rate price. Unfortunately, yeah. you know, somebody's got to pay for some things.
Yeah.
So
I hear you. All right. And then next one we have population shifts and affordability reshape. the landscape.
Yeah, and there are two things that drive the rental market, population shifts and affordability. They were saying as affordability becomes more pressing issues for Americans, we will see the government, especially state governments, stepping in more frequently to offer affordability programs and tax credits. Maybe not so much in Rhode Island right now, but I know in Massachusetts when we're, you know, because we were building that new property, you know, a percentage of that is affordable because that's part of the new, I guess, Massachusetts.
Yeah, you have yeah. to have a percentage of your property to be affordable.
Yep. So we're going to see that kind of reshape parts of the real estate landscape. They're saying that there's an increasing trend for baby boomers and empty nester population to actually move out of the suburbs and into urban environments and choosing to rent instead of buy. Which we've talked about before. You know, it's not just all the millennials that are renting right now. People, you know, the baby boomers are going to want to move into rentals because it's less to worry about. You know, if a hot water tank goes, it's not on them to replace it. Or, you know, snow removal like today, it's not on them to shovel their whole driveway out.
No, it's like leasing a car. They just want all that maintenance kind of wrapped into it. They just don't want the worry. They'd rather just pay the bill every month and kind of just, you know, not have to deal with it.
Right. I know. This is, you're going to see this trend happen more so. So, you know, when you're renting out your apartment or your, you know, if you have a bigger property, maybe keeping that in mind that it's not just the millennials that are renting. And, you know, maybe when it comes time to think about amenities, possibly think about them too. You know, it's not just all techie. I know we talk a lot about technological advances in the apartment industry and all the nifty gadgets and everything. But, you know, think about the baby boomers too, because they are going to be more of your renters.
Yeah, absolutely. That makes sense. I never really looked at it this way because everybody's such in like the mindset of just, you know, generation, the millennials and then the Gen Z's coming up and all these younger demographics and all they want is digital and all they want is, you know, they want the convenience too, but it's a different convenience. You know, they definitely don't want to be taking care of landscape or be responsible for snow removal. That we know, but they just want amenities that, you know, kind of on the luxury end more than, you know, like you said, the baby boomers are, you know,
right.
empty nesters. They're more on a practical level.
Right.
You know, they look for practical amenities.
I call my mother Practical Nancy. So she's always practical with her gifts and everything. But
practical.
Everything's practicality. So
love it.
Yep. The third trend that we'll see is it says hottest market or opportunities. So we've all heard about popularity of moving to cities like Nashville, the entire Southeast. And we're now seeing that the Northwest are becoming popular living destinations for many. They're saying that, you know, because market trends seem to follow job and population growth, that's where we'll see, you know, an increase in these regions, which I don't know. I mean, we always say like what moves west comes east. So maybe we'll see some of these jobs come to Rhode Island.
Well, that would be great. Probably in 2 more years, let's revisit this topic and see if it's happened yet.
We'll have to see. It says that the population of U.S. adults 65 and over will more than double by 2060, reaching 98 million. So that will be nearly one quarter of the population. And, you know, because of that, we're going to see a strong need for senior housing. Mm-hmm. And maybe, you know, independent 55 plus communities could be a smart choice for developers and investors. I know that we've been building, I mean, there's a lot of new projects that are going on in Providence. A lot of them are more geared towards college living and the millennial living. But maybe this is something that Rhode Island should look into as well.
Yeah, why don't we be one of the first to jump on this? Why do we have to wait for everybody else to
do it
all the time?
I don't know, Dina.
Let's take a stand.
Let's do it. 55 plus communities.
There you go. That's going to be our niche.
And then the last one is tech disruption. So what's that about, Dina? What do we got?
So the use of intelligent systems, machine learning, and all AI applications and software will increasingly be a huge agent of change in the real estate industry. This disruption will alter everything from property valuation all the way to property management, an area where the use of AI and chatbots can offer tenants better service and automate maintenance workflows, which we've talked about a few times with, you know, the package delivery, everything's
right.
automated.
Yeah, they're even saying, like, you can pay your rent by your voice, and you're going to see some of these new advances in technology.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
So
it's saying, consider this scenario. A tenant finds a toilet leaking and can alert management via text. Oh, yeah, because we talked about this, too, maintenance issues also being digital. They then receive an automated response from a chatbot communicating next steps, and the tech automatically creates a work order for the vendor, which is wild. Voice technology will also become huge in property management, potentially even allowing renters to pay rent by voice and make maintenance requests. Tech disruption even changes the game in real estate marketing, letting agents use virtual reality to offer prospective tenants a tour of the inside of a home or apartment unit without ever meeting in person. Which was funny because we just talked about this the other night at the event.
Yes, so and we will talk more about the event in a minute. I'm sorry to interrupt you, Dina.
See, I don't know these things not being in the
studio. That's okay, because we're going to talk about it right after this break. So you're listening to Irem Today, the Property Management Show. We'll be right back after this.
Now back to Irem Today, the Property Management Show, with your hosts, Dina Cimarelli and Chrissy Denalian on AM 790, your station for talk and business.
All right, it is 4:34 here on Irem Today, the Property Management Show. I'm Chrissy Denalian, along with my pizzazzy co-host over via phone, Dina Cimarelli. And normally we're live here in the studio every Tuesday from 4 to 5 p.m. We are live.
Studio. I'm live, just live in my car.
That's fine.
Lot.
You're down the street. I feel like I could touch you, but you're so far away.
I said, so close yet so far away.
I
but
know.
You know what, Chrissy? You and I make it work.
We make it work.
This is what we do.
We're working girls.
We're working girls. You do whatever you're going to do. The show must go on.
The show must go on, Dina. So, Dina, last Wednesday, we went to an Irem event.
We did.
We went
to our annual membership appreciation meeting. The first time we had one in evening, because this is normally a breakfast event for us.
And you were quite the little social butterfly, making friends all over as normal.
As per usual.
I know.
What else do I do with these things? I actually met some great new people, as did you.
Yeah.
It's just nice to connect. It's nice to see new members come into Irem. You know, Carrie had talked in the beginning of the night and gave her a little spiel. And actually, we were lucky enough to have her come on the show Tuesday because she kind of gave us like a heads up as to what to expect.
I know.
And again, just to reiterate, our cause this year is the Women's Resource Center out of Warren, Rhode Island. And just like we did last year when we donated our funds for our charity, where we donated the IT room to the Veterans Home for Tomorrow, this year, we're actually going to be helping kind of renovate some of the rooms in the Women's Resource Center. We're going to be painting.
I know.
There's going to be a mural done in the children's playroom. And
what a wonderful program to donate to. I know.
And know what I love the most? That Carrie's asking us for, like, all hands on deck.
I know.
Anybody from IRM who can get in and go and paint. I don't know what else, you know, I don't think everything has been, you know, kind of released to us yet as to everything we're going to do for them. But just to know that we can actually be part of it, other than just going to a networking event and buying a ticket, like you and I probably typically would do.
Right.
We actually get to go there and be hands-on, which I think is pretty phenomenal.
I know. And to see a tangible thing that we can all participate in. And I know that with the Veterans for Tomorrow, I know that, did you go to that, Dina? Or no, you didn't, right?
Oh, what was that? No, I didn't.
No.
Oh, for the opening?
But yes, Jason Martins went, and a lot of the board members went. I think Fran Serpa also went.
I was supposed to go, but I didn't make it.
There were a few people that went, but, you know, we weren't a physical part of, you know, providing this to them. And I think that it's wonderful that she asked for help from both vendors, members alike. So, you know, I plan on contributing. I know that you do, and we're just very excited to be a part of this program.
Yes, absolutely. And right now, off the top of my head, I forget the woman who came that night and spoke, but we did have representation from the Women's Resource Center that night, and she did get up and talked a little bit about the center itself and how they were opened in 1977, just like our chapter did, and we both just had our 40th anniversary, which is pretty neat. So she kind of got up and told us a little bit about how the Resource Center helps women in need and children, and, you know, she's just very grateful to have us, you know, obviously donating our time and our lending hands to make it a better place for these women and children in need. So I think it's going to be a great venture for all of us to kind of get together, because we've never really done anything like this before. And I think it'll be great, some great team building.
I think so, too. And I know that on their website, I know that they're always looking for donations as well. So if anybody out there wants to donate to them, they are always looking for physical donations, money donations. And even if you have an old cell phone, I think they also have a cell phone program,
right.
Too.
Said that. Yep.
So, you know, I know a lot of people probably have old cell phones in their drawers that, you know, you want to get rid of. You don't really know how to recycle them or whatever, but what's wonderful is that they do have a program for that as well. So, you know, if you're looking to donate, you can always go onto their website and, you know, click through as far as how you can help.
I love it. And we did find out, Carrie had told us that as of tomorrow, we are rolling out the new logo for IRM nationally. If you're interested in seeing what that looks like, you can go to the website, irem.org, and you can check it out. I don't know what it looks like, but I'm pretty excited to see it.
Tomorrow's the big unveiling.
For some reason.
You what?
I love logos. I don't know why. I just love logos. Well, good logos.
Yes.
But the other item that Carrie had brought up to us was we are no longer going to be calling our Friends of IRM friends anymore. We're now going to be referred to as industry partners.
So you're not my friend anymore, Dina?
We'll still be friends. We're friends.
Okay.
Chrissy.
Great.
Boom, boom. Don't you forget
Chrissy
it.
Chrissy Boo. Dina Winebiscuit. You got it.
Oh, I should have got some Winebiscuit.
You're right there.
I'm right here.
You're right there.
Two changes that are rolling out as of tomorrow, January 31st. So check out the new logo. And also, we are now going to be called industry partners.
So could you tell me a little bit? I know that you were a friend as of today. Tomorrow, you're going to be an industry partner. Could you tell me a little bit about being an industry partner?
Yeah, so a friend is kind of like a vendor, like myself, who supports IRM and the opportunity to attend events at a discounted rate. And we get to network with the best of the best in the industry. We have, I want to say, probably like 40 friends at this rate, and I think we just took on 3 new ones. We have anybody from, so myself, I do marketing and advertising in the property management industry. We have IT, we have disaster restoration, we have attorneys, we now have human resources. I think that gentleman was a Smart Build, Smart Coat.
Smart Coat.
Like painting.
Yep.
And
Tony. We met him on Wednesday.
Yep.
He's
and we're
going
to have him come on the show.
Yep.
He was super excited just to come in and network. He was great to talk to. He was really eager and interested, which is cool. Like, I like that. You know, he's just like, what can I do? You know,
social.
Can you introduce me to so-and-so? So, you know, just to see, again, and that's kind of like what you're going to be working with a little bit with Holly Rigoli, the vice president, just getting some of that young blood into, you know, Irem, which is great. But, you know, I love being a friend. I talk about it all the time. It's helped me both personally and professionally. I've made great friends. I've also, you know, was able to get in the door of some places that maybe wouldn't have spoken to me before. You know, I understand that I'm in sales. I know a salesperson comes with a certain,
It's a tough industry to be in, I think, in sales.
Yeah, it is.
It is.
And the funny thing is, what I sell is a very niche market to property management. And, you know, it's necessary to some degree. It's not, you know, just all fluff. And there's not many of us who do it. But, you know, it's hard because if somebody has relationships with a competitor of ours that have been existing for 3 years and here I come trying to sell them my product, it doesn't happen overnight. This isn't a one call close like some, you know, products you can do that. There's a lot of relationship building that needs to go on. There's a trust needs to be built, you know, because you work with them side by side. And that's why coming to these networking events, you know, I've met some great people who actually introduced me to some property management companies who I was knocking on their door for CERN.
Dina, just throw me under the bus.
You know, it's just.
I have to say,
really beneficial.
I have to say, when people network at these events, you know, as a property manager, I have a lot of people that come in my office unannounced and they want to talk to the property manager. And it's hard to find time to sit down with a salesperson that just kind of bumped in and like, oh, hey, just want to try to sell you this or try to sell you that. And it's difficult because I wear a lot of different hats throughout the day, and to find time just to even find 5 minutes to sit down with somebody. But at least at these networking events, you know, you're given that opportunity to introduce yourself. And I don't know, I feel like at the office, maybe you're not given as much of an opportunity to introduce yourself to people.
Well, because your head's always somewhere else. And, you know, the type of what I like to do, like if I'm going to a property for the first time and, you know, and I don't, and I'm just calling it, let's call it a cold call. I don't have an appointment. I will walk in and I'll introduce myself. And the first thing out of my mouth, honestly, I'll say to them, you know, I understand that, you know, I didn't have an appointment. I'll give them my card. And is there a time maybe we can meet? Like, I want them to know right away, I don't want to talk to you right now.
Right.
Sometimes they go, you know what? I have 15 minutes. Perfect. But I try to take that pressure off. But like you said, at these networking events, it's kind of expected to kind of mingle and network.
Of course.
So it's an easier conversation to have, especially if there's some wine flowing or some, you know, some beverages.
Maybe.
It's kind of a little bit more looser, and they get to see you. You are a salesperson. They kind of get to see you in a different light. So it truly, really is beneficial. So, I mean, industry partner, friend of Irem, they're one and the same. We're all great vendors. I know you use a lot of them at your property.
I do.
And it's just great to know that, you know, just the referrals alone, you know, even if you weren't using us, you know, disaster restoration company, but if a neighboring property or somebody needed one, you even needed one personally.
Yeah.
You have what, two or three or four at least?
Yeah, definitely. There are quite a few members that are disaster restoration. So I can think of like four right off the top of my head,
exactly.
Even that we've had on the show. So, you know, you always have a bunch of those friends or industry leaders that you can always turn to in a bind. And because you've introduced yourself at these networking events, they will return your phone calls and they want the business.
Yeah.
So it's a wonderful kind of camaraderie that we have at Irem and through Irem. So and we're going to talk a little more at our next break, after our next break, about the events that we have going on.
I'll just sit tight right here.
Yes, you just sit tight right there, Dina. And
I won't go anywhere.
Good. Thank you. You're listening to Irem Today, the Property Management Show. We'll be right back after this.
Now back to Irem Today, the Property Management Show, with your hosts, Dina Cimarelli and Chrissy Denalian, on AM 790, your station for talk and business.
All right, it is 4:47 here on Irem Today, the Property Management Show. I'm Christine Illion, along with my wonderful remote co-host, Dina Cimarelli. We're live here in the studio every Tuesday from 4 to 5 p.m. How are you, Dina?
I'm good. My dad actually just showed up, and I sent him a text one of our last breaks, and I said, just please keep in mind, I'm in my car, the radio, and I will not be able to speak to you until my turn. So he just pulls up behind and he's got the jet going. Yes. My dad's the best.
Yes. Dads are the best, aren't they? They just always come to the rescue, I swear.
Always. It's just a phone call away, no matter where you are. He's definitely the best.
I call my parents all the time for everything. It's like every little thing that happens. I'm like, I know it's terrible, but
no, that's
they're there for me whenever I need them. So thank you, Mom and Dad.
I'm there for them too. I'm anything that they ever needed, I would always be there as well. So he's doing. So that's what's happening in my neck of the woods.
Oh, I'm sorry, Dina, but I hope he gets your tire on. I guess you're not going to come in the show, but at least we're making do.
We're making do. You're just going to have to, you know, do our fancy back end stuff by yourself today. So.
It's okay. It's
all right. And when you drive by, I might still be here, so look over and say hi.
Dina. So I know on before we get into events, I know on RentPath, there was a little article about, you know, revenue drivers and making the most of your clubhouse. I don't know if you have that article up, Dina.
I do. I have it up right here.
Okay. All right.
This is actually great for you to talk about because we can talk about Oasis.
We could.
And that clubhouse.
That clubhouse is ridiculous.
Oh, my God.
I just go in there and I'm like, can I just live in this clubhouse? But through the website, I mean, through RentPath, they did a little blog on, you know, making the most of your clubhouse. And they're saying that if your apartment community has a clubhouse, you know that it can be an excellent source of income. So from anniversary celebrations to family gatherings, football parties to birthday parties, maximizing exposure for your clubhouse, both inside and outside of your community, can help boost your bottom line and expose your community to potential renters. So you want to make sure, though, that you follow these steps that your clubhouse is ready for action.
Correct.
So what's the first thing we got, Dina?
So I guess you have to decide on pricing. So what's your budget? You know, your clubhouse is an asset that you want to monetize and protect. So you need to consider the cost of having a staff member on site during an event. So there's going to be the cost for the actual employee to be there. Be sure to take a look at the venue rental costs in your immediate area, just to make sure that you are competitive, and consider the possibility of a discounted rental fee for residents as opposed to outside parties too. Because I mean, just myself, I've planned parties, I've tried rented out places. Some of them are like up to $1,000 a room.
Crazy.
I mean, just to throw a party.
Yeah.
So definitely, I think that's great to check out, see what's going on in the area, see your comps, and then just kind of assess the price at that time. And then you also should probably require a deposit along with your fee to cover any damages that might occur during the event. And you can make that a refundable fee, obviously, if no
Or just hold the check in the office.
If you were to go to any other facility or you rent out a room in a hotel. And definitely work with your legal team to create some sort of a contract featuring the rules and a cancellation policy that both you and the person you're hiring, the venue actually signed together and you're both in agreement on that. I think all of that is pretty standard.
Right.
But like you said, I think it is an excellent source of ancillary income. I mean, why wouldn't you do it? And especially, you know, again, you and I have both seen this clubhouse at the Oasis. That's a top-notch, you know, rental facility right there. I mean, that is absolutely beautiful. I would have parties there.
Yeah. And, I mean, with the clubhouse, I mean, if you want to rent it out for private parties, you can go ahead and do that. But there's also the benefit of even just having maybe a happy hour or, you know, holiday party or even like an Easter egg hunt in your clubhouse if it's, you know, for the residents.
Yeah.
So, you know, having those things available to them, I mean, you also need to, I know that you had talked a little bit about the rules, but they said create and confirm the rules. You want to make sure that you see what like acceptable start and finish times. If your clubhouse is in close relation with the apartments, you don't want it going till a certain time at night. You address noise in the rules, alcohol use, cleanup expectations, and a damage policy. So you want to go over these things, even if there's a little contract that they sign, maybe go over these things when they first sign up to rent the clubhouse.
Yes. And then you also want to communicate to your residents and your local community. So when you've got your pricing and your policies all in place, you know, it's time to let your residents and the local community know that your clubhouse space is available for their use. You want to try luring in your renters with a few maybe complimentary resident gatherings like you were just speaking about to show off the space, such as a football viewing party, a potluck dinner, or even just some donuts and coffee. And then also send out some engaging messages at a good cadence to both advertise your own events and as well as suggest and potential rental ideas. make sure your web listings also highlight that you have a clubhouse available for events. So I think that's also very important as well. Make sure you get all that information up on your website.
Yeah, I know whenever we have like parties for the residents, when we go on a tour with a prospective resident, I always invite them to the event. I'm like, oh, well, this week we're actually having this. And like, why don't you come? You know, you can get a feel for the residents. You can come and help yourself to free food and drinks. And I have to say, no one has ever come from inviting them for prospective residents. But it's, I mean, they kind of like that. They like that, oh, you know, I'm going to feel part of the community. Nobody's ever actually showed up to one, but it's been nice to, you know, even offer that.
Yeah, I think that's great. I've been invited to a few resident parties just through property managers, just to kind of see what they do, you know, and it's actually been nice. I've gone to a property where they've held like exercise classes. I've been to some holiday parties. So it was actually really nice to see how the community itself gets involved with the residents and also gives back by giving out, you know, donuts and coffee in the morning, some hors d'oeuvres and some wine. I think you've done wine tastings, right? At your facility, didn't you do that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, that goes a long way with residents.
Right. And we've worked with, I think it was like the Savory Grape, actually. We worked with them to
Love
have.
The Savory Grape.
I know you do. Actually, I know that. But the Savory Grape, we work with them to have a wine tasting in the clubhouse. I mean, we always work with different vendors all the time for any of our resident parties. We're always looking for different vendors or different, you know, events to have. Actually, in about a week and a half, we're going to be having a trivia night. We're going to try something a little different and have a trivia night.
Fun.
So that should be a fun turnout.
You would love that. I love trivia.
I love trivia too. Yeah. But I don't know if everybody else does or just me. And then the last thing that they suggest is to plant some party ideas. So, you know, a lot of local community members visit your clubhouse for an event and take advantage for the opportunity to boost your property's desirability. So you want to encourage referrals by providing community information during your event to attendees to take home. So, you know, that could be, you know, even just sending out a flyer to your existing residents stating that, you know, that it would be available for a football party. You know, next week is Super Bowl. So just sending out a flyer like, don't forget to book early. You're going to want this with the big screen TVs and you're going to want to probably have this. And because it has, you want to also mention that what features your clubhouse has. So if it has an oven, if it has a dishwasher, if it has an ice maker, just to make it more convenient for these residents. So
no, I think that's great because, again, like you said, put that little bug in there. They might not even be realizing that they want to host a football viewing party. Then, you know, you say, well, we have all this great seating and we have these TVs and we have all these amenities. You know, grab some of your friends, then you're not in your apartment, you're in a much bigger space, and, you know, I think that'd be cool. But you got to kind of plant the seed a little bit.
So, also, Dina, I know that we were talking about the new unveiling of the IREM logo tomorrow, but tomorrow we are actually having another event.
Yeah, we have the fentanyl biohazard training that we've been promoting all month long. It's at 12 acres.
Yes.
And registration and the breakfast buffet begins at 8:30, classes from 9 to 11:30. And who's hosting that, Chrissy?
It's going to be 24 Restore. And we're actually going to have John from 24 Restore. He's going to be coming on the radio soon. I'm just trying to book a date for him. I know he's been busy planning for this training. And I know that registration is closed online, but you can certainly reach out to Karen. I'm sure that she can squeeze you in.
Yeah.
Ethically, of course, squeeze you in. and you can give Karen a call at 401-479-7734.
Correct.
And then what do we have going on March 7th, Dina? Please tell me who is going to host this wonderful event.
Okay. Well, we have Trends in Property Management. That's going to be on March 7th, 2018. And we have a wonderful panel.
Who's part of that wonderful panel, Dina?
Well, yours truly will be speaking, obviously, about advertising and marketing. And then we're going to have Sue Monahan, who's our regional vice president. We're also going to have Eric Shore from Secure Future Tech talking about all things IT. And then also we're going to – was it Karen Rhodes? I don't have the information in front of me. From the human – what's the name of her? Human resource company.
Karen Rhodes from Complete Payroll Solutions.
Complete Payroll Solution, yes. Yeah, so – you know, it's going to be at 1149, which, excuse me, we love that venue. We've had a bunch of, had our wine tastings there in the past.
Go Pisern.
Wonderful. Registration begins at 8:15. Breakfast buffet is at 8:30. You're going to have a panel presentation by the four of us, a nice Q&A session. Guests and non-members come. There's a discounted price, obviously, for members. And I think it's going to be great. Registration does close on February 26th. If you go online to iramri.org and click on the link to register, you have more than enough time to do that. You can come listen to yours truly, talk for about a half an hour because, you know, God knows I like to talk.
And if you're interested in anything that we went over today, from designations to becoming a friend, you can give Karen a call at 401-479-7734. If you missed any part of the program, you can subscribe to us on iTunes by searching for IRAM Today, or you can listen to the podcast on our website, iramiri.org. I guess that will do it for today. Thank you for calling in, Dina. I really appreciate it.
Chrissy, it was just an honor and a pleasure for me to be your guest today.
I can't wait to see you in studio next week.
I can't wait to be there.
Thanks for listening to IRAM Today.
This episode of IRAM Today is brought to you by Secure Future Tech Solutions, your local IT partner providing information technology solutions. To consult with an IT expert today, call 401-921-2607 or visit them online at securefuturetech.com.